there was a hole in me that I couldn't fill. I tried. I used to do horse riding. I used to do bike riding, walking, dancing, martial arts. I used to go diving. So many. Skiing, water skiing, snow skiing, anything. Just trying to fill this hole in me. And I couldn't do it. And so I was on this mission to just spend every hour, every second of the day doing something. And I was still grieving for my father. If anybody had come to me and say, you know, have you got a mum and dad? And I said, well, I've got a mum. But I couldn't even mention about my father. That used to be like a knife. And because I spent so long in looking after my mother and having that responsibility to bring my mother from having that nervous breakdown, I didn't have time to grieve. And so I bottled it up. I encased it like in a concrete case and put it so far down in me, this pain. You know, I was brought up in my youth to go to church on a Sunday. And this the Sunday, I was a bit bored because my parents obviously wanted to stay together, but I would go down on a Sunday. And the only thing I really learned was to pray, to bend your knee and put your hands together. That was how to pray. The decision then was, what do I really start doing? To make some money, I had all the tools from doing the tree work. And so I decided to do some door knocking and put some adverts in the paper and whatever. And suddenly this work started coming in. And I went to college, learned how to climb with ropes and harness. And I was a bit of one of these that I'll try it. You know, I'll have a go. I don't need to... And so I learned the hard way and made some mistakes. Trees went wrong way and I dropped, you know, a few branches through things. But I learned through my experiences. And we started getting very successful. I had people working for me. And a man approached me one day. He started becoming a friend and a work colleague. And he said, have you ever thought about... join the Freemasons? I said, no. He said, oh, I think you'd benefit. He said, you're not really allowed to say this, but your business would benefit. And I was thought, well, if my business will benefit, then we'll have a go, you know, see what it's about. And I asked him a few questions and he said, oh, I can't tell you. I went, oh, why can't you? He said, well, it's secret. And so that's part of you coming in, that you'll learn about. So I thought, oh, well, you know, I've got nothing to lose. I'll go into it. So I went through the interview and I spoke as well as I could and went fairly tidy and I got through. So I went into this different ceremonies, the first degree, the second degree and the third degree. Not knowing what you're going to say or the actions you're going to make and the obligations and the promises. I had nothing about that. And you don't know it until you do it. So they say, oh, will you follow me? And you say these words. The first degree, you go through the ceremony and you are told then to remember a part of it to go into the second degree. And you are asked a question. What is Freemasonry? It's a peculiar system of morality veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols. Well, at the time, I was so determined to learn it, I didn't really understand what I was saying. And that is a lot with Freemasonry. It's quite old English, some language that you don't normally use. A peculiar system of morality. So the morals, true morals, a peculiar means warped. So it's warped morality, warped morals. veiled with allegory. Allegory is secrecy. So there's a secret, and it's always a secret until you get to the next part, and then it's secret again. Illustrated by symbols. And every symbol that is in Freemasonry is the same symbols as is in the covens, which the witches and the warlocks and the high priests take to take their obligations and promises into their different degrees, different levels. But I didn't know that. So I spent 2 years kind of going along and not bumbling along. I wouldn't say going along, but bumbling along and thinking, well, I don't know what all this is about. But my business started growing because they were saying, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a tree surgeon. Oh, I've got a tree. And I'd rather have you do it than... So I thought, oh, I'm on a good wicket here. I'm doing well. And then people started saying, oh, would you like to go to another lodge and visit? I thought, well, if I go there, then people will say, oh, what do you do? I'm a tree surgeon. Well, and it started, you know, my business started growing, and probably a third of my business started to be Freemasons. But I really wasn't interested in all the ceremonies. I was interested in the social part, having a meal and a chat afterwards, but not the ceremonies. During this time, I got married. Now, this girl that I married, I met her at a club. I didn't live with her. I only met her, and I probably saw her 2 or 3 times a week and fell in love with her. And she fell in love with me, and I just, within probably about 8 months, we decided to get married. And we got married, and it was a church affair, and with all the pomp and the ceremony, white dresses and tail suits and top hats, and you know. And my honeymoon was like a nightmare. Suddenly, I didn't realize that this girl had two sides to her. She'd suffered with anorexia for 4 years, so severely that it had affected her mind, and she had double personality. And I'd only seen the best part. I'd only seen the hide, not the jackal. And I could tell by what she wore in the morning and what mood she was in. And so we decided after 6 months that I couldn't handle it anymore. I was actually going to have a nervous breakdown. That if I was going the same way as her, I couldn't understand what she was doing and the mood she was in. And she left a few times and came back, and I just felt just a pain in me. And so we got divorced. But I still liked dancing, so I thought, what shall I do in the evening? So I started going out dancing again, and within several months, you know, I started going out with girls again. And I thought, well, you know, the past is the past. But inside, there was this pain. And for one thing, there was this, remember the concrete block that I had in me? And then there was the pain from, I'd given my life to be with this girl for the rest of my life. That's what I believed at the time. And so it was like my life was just pulled apart than when my marriage split up. And I can always liken it to two bottles of acid, one from a father dying and one from a wife leaving. And suddenly they were pulled together. And I couldn't cope. I was into tree surgery, so I was climbing. I was into dancing, martial arts, doing other things. But this hole in me and the pain, and I couldn't cope. I couldn't sleep. And when I woke up, it was still there. Remember the only thing I really learnt at church all when I was a little boy was how to pray. And when I came back one night from the clubs, I knelt down. Knelt down at the bed. Put my hands together and prayed a prayer. A simple prayer saying, I don't know if you're there. You may be a God that is over the hill and far away, and I'm such a sinner and I haven't spoken to you for years. But I need help. I'm desperate. I don't know what else to say. And I left it. 2 days later, I was taking this tree down for an old lady. She was in her middle 70s. And I took it down, started sweeping up. And she said, oh, Mr. Knights, would you like to come into the kitchen? So I went in and she said, oh, your check's on the side. But also the Lord has been speaking to me and you've been praying. And I'd like to help you today. Now, I'm twice the size of her. I've always denied everything. And I said, no, I'm fine, thank you. And she leans forward and points her finger right in my face. And she said, God doesn't lie to me. You've been praying and I'd like to help you. And I went, well, maybe a little bit. And she gave me a little invitation. And it was the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, a men's breakfast. And those went right over my head. And I went, really don't expect me to come because I'm not into this. And she said, well, I'm going to pray for you every morning and every night that you'll come. And I didn't even look at the address. And I thought, oh. I really don't want to do this. But I'll put it in my suit pocket just in case I go. So I went upstairs, opened the cupboard and put it in my suit pocket. And I didn't realise it was in 3 weeks' time. So I had plenty of time to forget about it. And I did. Forgot all about it and carried on in my life. And this particular morning, about 8:30, which was most unusual for me because I'd been dancing and meeting young ladies until the early hours. And I used to sleep until about 11 o'clock. And so I look at my watch and it's 8:30 thinking. And I feel full of beans. I feel wide awake. And I feel something I've got to do. Something leads me to the wardrobe. And I put my hands in the pocket and draw out this, this is 3 weeks after this lady had given it. I'd forgotten all about this card. I looked at it, the Toorak Hotel, which is one of the main hotels in Torquay, 9 o'clock, breakfast. And I love breakfasts. And, you know, the Lord just knows how to get you, you know. And anyway, I get in my truck and drive down there. I get down to the Toorak Hotel 3 minutes before nine. Think, good, I don't have to talk to anybody. I'll see what it's about, have my fried bread, and then go and do some shopping. So I go in and I start walking up the steps. And this lady is on the top of the steps. And I was expecting her to say, nice day, thank you for coming. But she didn't. She pointed a finger right in my face again and said, the Lord had to get you up and remind you to come. And I went, oh, whoa, this is spooky stuff. And, oh, I don't know if to go in. Because I've never had anything like this before. But probably the smell of the bacon and the eggs and whatever. And I thought, I'll go in, but be very careful. Anyway, I went in and this lady sat the other side of the room. And I sat next to two ladies. And I was quite comfortable with that and started chatting. Had this lovely breakfast. And suddenly they said, well, we'd like to introduce you to this man. And I can't remember his name. To share his testimony this morning. I went, oh, right, okay, I'll just carry on eating. Anyway, he started talking, and I thought, you know, his life was so much like mine. He'd lost a parent, and, you know, and he was into martial arts, and he was a very physical man. And, you know, I think, oh, you know, I could virtually write this for him. So much like him. So I started listening. And in the middle of his story, his testimony, he said, there was a man in here that you've been brought up as a Christian. You've sang to God. You've been taught about God. And you prayed. Of course, I was in the choir. I was in an Anglican church, high Anglican church, with all the frills and the frocks and, you know, well, it didn't impress me too much when I was a lad. And I'd been to Sunday school, where I was bored out of my mind, and but I had prayed. And I thought, so how does he know this then? Because I looked around and think, is there anybody in here that knows me? I thought, there isn't anybody at all. There was about 80 people in there. I thought, and I felt like he was talking to me. And he said, you may have sang, you may have learnt, and you may have prayed, but the Lord has brought you here this morning to become a born-again Christian. I went, wow. And suddenly, it was like a flash of a video. And I don't know if you've ever had, in a flash of a second, I saw me praying, this woman who spoke to me with the apple tree, something getting me up this morning, and me getting here. There was a chain of events that brought me here where the Lord answered my prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now, I could have totally denied it, but it was like a washing machine going on in me, and I knew in my heart that God had brought me there, answered my prayer. Now, I've got a choice now. Nobody knows that I'm the guy that he's speaking about. And he said, will you come forward? And I thought, my backside stuck to my seat, and I wouldn't have thought, yeah, right, I'm not going to go forward. What, amongst 80 people and make a fool of myself? No. And he said, it's all right, the Lord's just told me, just join hands and we'll pray a prayer of salvation. I thought, okay. Now, if there'd been a man either side, I wouldn't have held his hand. It's really strange, isn't it? The Lord knows your heart, and he put two ladies there. And I thought, yeah, I can hold these ladies' hands. And he said, I'm going to go through a prayer where you're a sinner and you ask the Lord to repent and you ask Jesus Christ into your life. And I thought, yeah, I can do this. So I prayed the salvation prayer. And suddenly, the presence of God hit me. And I was carrying a weight. It was so heavy. And I used to be able to carry, you may know the old cement bags, the little, you know, the new cement bags are more like carrier bags. But the old ones were 100-weight carry bags. And I could carry two of them on my shoulder and run to a site and just tell the guys, you take that one and you take that one. And it was that kind of weight suddenly lifted off me. And the Lord said, I'll have that weight. And this backpack that I didn't realize was there was had so much in it. And over the years that, you know, the unforgiveness and the bitterness and the anger and the blame and everything else that had come. Within this backpack, the Lord said, I'll have that. And he took this backpack off. And I had to look at my feet to make sure that I was still on the ground. I felt so light. And I felt that the Lord had totally touched my life that morning. And I cried. I started crying. I haven't been able to cry since my father died. And I cried for about 3 hours. It just came out of me. And it was flowing, and people gave me tissues and handkerchiefs, you know, and I just cried and cried, and the Lord was washing me. So after this amazing experience, that I knew God had touched me. So as I was leaving, after several hours of crying my eyes out, I came out of the hotel, and I heard God's voice. So plain, so clear. And he said, finish with the girl that I'd started going out with. And I'd been going out with her for several months. And he called her by her name even. And so I went, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do. But you know, Lord, I said, you know, God, that she's a bit theatrical. And you know, she's fallen in love with it. And I know that I'm going to have such a scene. And I really need the courage to do it. And so he told me again. And he was trying to get my attention. And I was really putting it off and putting it off. Now, the third time he told me, I'm going to share this experience. And my brother came down with his wife and three children for the weekend, and my mother had come over to see, and they were leaving, and there was no reason why any of them had to cross the road, because their car was parked on the pavement and my house was right next to the pavement. So they started coming out, and suddenly the middle daughter, Jasmine, ran across the road for no reason, just ran across the road. And this car came and hit her right through. And she lifted up in the air and bounced and bounced. And she was totally still. I ran out and picked her up. And I stood in the middle of the road. And it was like the stillness of time. There was no... The engine wasn't running in the car. The man didn't get out. My... family, my brother, and they were still. No noise, no nothing. And I heard God's voice saying, finish with this girl. And I went, what about Jasmine? He said, there'll be nothing wrong with her. And with that, she started crying. The man got out the car, the engine was still running, and my brother and his wife, and they were all screaming, shouting, and you know. And I went back and gave Jasmine, the middle daughter, back to my brother, and I said, she'll be all right. He said, you know nothing, I'm going to take her to the hospital. Anyway, they kept her in for 48 hours, and all she had was a scratch here. But I know that she was dead when I picked her up. Lifeless. And I thought, I can't tell anybody, because they'll never believe me. Perhaps it's just my imagination. Anyway, a couple of months went past, and my brother and his wife, Bella, came for the weekend again. We were just in the lounge, and just the three of us. And suddenly this glaze came over my brother's eyes. He doesn't believe in God or Jesus or nothing. He just doesn't believe in anything. Suddenly this glaze comes over my brother's eyes. I think, what? I wonder why he's... And then Bella asked me the question. She's not a believer either. What happened, Paul? I went, what do you mean, what happened? I knew exactly what she was on about. And I said, what happened? What do you mean, Bella? She said, what happened in the street when we came down last time? I went, nothing very much. And she said, oh, yes, there was. I want you to tell me. And I went, do you really want to know? She said, yeah. I said, Jasmine died. She said, I know. And God brought her back to life through you. I went, wow. I said, how do you know that? She said, I knew. Knew on that day that God had brought her back to life through you. Cool. Talk about a revelation and confirmation. So, immediately from when she was knocked over, I went to this girl's house thinking, oh, here we go. We're going to have fireworks and all the, you know. And I knocked on the door. And she opened the door and I said, I'm sorry, we've got to finish this. She said, fine. And shut the door right in my face. I thought, and I was stood there with this door so close to my nose thinking, no, that can't be it. That she's going to open the door again. And she didn't. I thought, it can't be. It can't be that easy. And it was. You know, the scripture says, the Lord goes before you and prepares. And I went, well, surely she loved me more than that. You know, I think, well, I don't know, I'm a bit puffed put out there, really. Anyway, and I think within 2 days, I still like dancing, still like clubbing it and whatever. I met my wife. And it was just like the Lord wanted this other girl out of my life before I met Angela. And we, because of our kind of past, she'd been married before, I'd been married before, and, you know, we were a bit kind of hesitant. So this experience that Angela had was she didn't know if to fully get involved with me. And in a way she was praying, but not... She was just kind of asking fresh air, you know, am I really meant to be involved with this guy, you know? He's got a background, I've got a background, and, you know. And she was a hairdresser, and she was locking up one night, and this lady comes to the door, and she said, I'm sorry, we're just locking up. She said, no, I've come to see you. And he went, come to see me? She said, yes, have you got just a few minutes? And she said, oh, yes, she said, so... They both sat in the chairs and looked towards each other, and she said, yeah, I've got a message for you. She said, you've just met a man. He's a born-again Christian. And if you give him your life, he will be your feet for the rest of your life. And you need to trust him, and he's the man for you. And that's the message I've got for you. And so... She went, oh, right, thank you very much. Now, she didn't know that I was born again. I hadn't told her. We hadn't got to that place, really. She turned the seat around and suddenly turned around to say this lady had gone. So she rushed to the door, and it's a 3 to 4 minute walk either way before, you know, any more roads or paths or anything. And she rushed out and put her head either, and this lady had gone completely. I really believe that that was a messenger. It was an angel that has been sent to tell her. So she came back and I saw her that night, and she said, Paul, are you a born-again Christian? I went, yeah, I am. And she said, well, I've had the most unusual experience, she said. And I feel totally at peace, she said, that we are meant to be together. I went, oh, good. So through this time, I'm still a Freemason. And after I'd given my heart to the Lord, I thought Freemasonry was actually godly, and so I wanted to spend more time in it and put more effort into it. So I spent the next 12 years putting more effort into it, and I got higher and higher up the scale in the different offices, and I became responsible for all the building. Anything needed doing, I'd get it done. All the social activity, I changed that, and so I got very well respected. And the year before I was Master of the Lodge, I was in, it was a summer's day or summer's evening, and I went into the lodge, sat down, and we had to be quiet in lodge while the ceremony, and suddenly this cold chill comes in. And there was a saying that somebody walked over your grave, and it was that cold, icy feeling went right through my body. And I went, whoa! And I felt all night in this room that there is something wrong. And so when I got home that night, I felt that... I had to do something. And Angela said, did you enjoy the evening? I went, no, I didn't. She said, oh. And I explained what it was. And then she said, why don't you try another lodge? So I went to another lodge, which was, you know, that week. And I had exactly the same experience. And I thought, what on earth is going on here? Now, I'd had an experience of the Lord about 12 years before. I thought, there is a God. And he did speak to me. And somehow... I'd lost touch. I didn't go to church. I didn't speak with other Christians. But I knew I was born again, but I was in Freemasonry. And so I was working up on Dartmoor, near Hator, and I had 6 staff by then. I was doing some tree work and clearance, and I said, you carry on with you. And I climbed up to a high rock, and I climbed up to this rocks, and I just lifted my arms up and said, God, I need to know if you want me in or out of Freemasonry. And I need to know this week. I want you to tell me if I need tapes or literature. I need a total stranger to tell me. And I need the written word. I didn't own a Bible. So how I prayed that prayer, I felt that I opened my mouth and these words came out of my mouth because I had no preconceived idea what to say. So the 2 days went late and this man gave me he said, "Oh, Paul, I really feel led to give you this CD and or 2 CDs, and it both on testimonies of Freemasons that had such a godly experience that called them out of Freemasonry. But they talked about the demonic as well and what they were involved with. And I thought, what on earth am I involved with here? After all this time, I still didn't know that I was in witchcraft. Then somebody invited me a couple of days later to a men's meeting up in Clearbury Mortimer. And it was the full gospel, which all those years ago, it invited me to into breakfast. And I went along and I just felt God speak to me and say, "Go, but be expectant." And that morning I got there, that I had the breakfast, fried breakfast as usual, lovely. And I went to the furthest part of the dining room and this total stranger came and sat opposite me and he said, I believe God wants me to sit with you today because he wants me to share my testimony about Freemasonry. He just shared his testimony, how God brought him out of Freemasonry and all the ins and outs. And then in the afternoon, this total stranger came up to me, said, "You're Paul, aren't you?" I went, "Yes." He said, "Oh, I'm sat down over there." He said, "When you got a minute, come and have a word." So I went over after a few minutes and he said, "Sit down." He said, "I'm an evangelist, I'm a teacher, I go to Bible college, I teach in Bible college, I go all over the world teaching." He said, "I really don't want to be here." He said, "But God wanted me to be here." So he introduced himself, he said, "He's David." He said, "I've been led by the Lord to come today." He said, "I really didn't want to come." So I said, "Lord, you'll have to confer." And he said, within a couple of hours, his friend that he hadn't seen for 8 months came and said, "I bought you a ticket for Clearbury Mortimer." He said, "I felt the Lord say, buy you a ticket. So I knew I had to go. And I said, "Lord, why do you want me to go?" He said, "You're going to meet a man called Paul, and I want you to give him these scriptures. These are the scriptures the Lord wants." And I said, "Oh, when did you get these?" Now, you've got to realize that I'd asked on the Monday. This is the Saturday, and I'd asked on the Monday before, okay? And I asked the Lord, "Within the week, I want you to tell me." So he said, "The Lord gave it to me 2 weeks ago." I said, no, there's a misunderstanding here. I only prayed 5 days ago. He said, "No, the Lord gave it to me 14 days ago." He said, and I went, "Well, how do you work out that then?" And he said, "The Lord has already answered your prayers before you pray. And as you open your mouth, he will put the prayers in your mouth. So he's already answered them." So this man was prepared by God to come and give me the scriptures before I asked. That if there is anything in darkness, it's not a God. Anything in secrecy is not a God. There is only one master. And let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. And don't take any obligations or promises. And he said, "They're for you, Paul." And they are the scriptures that I needed to confirm the Lord wanted me out of Freemasonry. But the Lord kept me in Freemasonry for another 2 years. And some people don't understand that. But you know, the Lord is honourable and he wants us to be honourable. I was a representative of him. Many people used to come to me and ask why I'd stepped down from all responsibility. I stepped down from my office, I stepped down from looking after the building, running the social activities. And people would say, "Why, Paul?" And I could tell them about the Lord. And so within the lodge, I was telling people about Jesus. And people would come in and say, "Can you pray for me, Paul? I've got this problem and that problem." And so the Lord wants us to be honourable. He wants us to be ambassadors, representatives of him. And I had a piece while I was there, and he wanted me to outsee my office and have all the responsibilities. But the Lord had revealed the truth about Freemasonry, that it's based on witchcraft. So I didn't want anything to do with witchcraft. Even after all these years, I totally was like veiled. And it talks about the veiled, veiled in allegory, veiled in the secrecy. And I was in that, not knowing. The Lord had taken this veil away and suddenly shown me what the truth was about Freemasonry. And it's the roots of Freemasonry. And there were so many men that are in Freemasonry, and you don't know that you're in a satanic and demonic society. And so I said to the Lord, you've obviously shown me, so how do you want me to come out? Do you want me to write a letter and, you know, slip it under the door and do a runner? And he said, no. I said, well, what do you want me to do? Now, in Freemasonry, if you're late, you normally have to be knock on the door after the first degree and then being ushered into the lodge, and you make your apologies in front of the master, and then you are ushered to a seat. And he said, I want you to go back into the lodge. I went, I don't want to do any more signs, obligations. I don't want to do that, Lord. He said, you won't need to. I want you to be 10 minutes late. Now, it was amazing that for about 120 years, this meeting in my lodge had been always on a Monday. For some reason, I can't remember the reason, but it was changed to a Wednesday, and there's a lot of lodges don't meet on a Wednesday. And so the masters from other lodges are encouraged to visit as a master other lodges. Okay. There was a lot of the masters were free on that Wednesday because they weren't meeting themselves. So they decided to come, but I didn't know this. And so instead of having 70 or 80 people, suddenly there was twice as many men in this lodge, and they had to bring in extra chairs and whatever. So I'm totally oblivious to this. I've been working all day, and the Lord had told me particularly to be 10 minutes late. And so I went around the corner, 10 minutes late. I got 9 minutes, and it would take me a minute to get up the stairs. So I went up, and there was somebody called the outer guard that stands outside the lodge, and he's protecting any stranger coming in. And he said, hello, Paul. He said, cool. If you'd only come a minute before. He said, there's so many people in there tonight. He said that if you'd been 9 minutes late, you could have got in. I went, thank you, Lord. And so they opened in the first degree. Then we knocked. I went in. And the Lord had told me to stand facing the master of the lodge and say, I love you, all of you. I come with love. And of course, they all went, oh, yeah, because you, by this time, I've been in it 14 years. They all knew me or respected me. They went, oh, yeah, well done, Paul. Yeah, that, yeah, we love you too, you know, kind of thing. And I said, but because of the curse that has been put not only on myself but my family, I denounce Freemasonry as a satanic and demonic society, and I resign. Suddenly, there was a quietness that hit that place. Nobody said a word. And it seemed like minutes, but I'm sure it was only probably seconds, but it seemed like a long time. Suddenly, the person who had taken over my role as, because I should have been in that chair, I should have been the master of that lodge, and I was facing him, and he was a 33rd degree Freemason, and he started banging that gavel, which is a hammer, wooden hammer. He started, get him out, get him out. And his face distorted, and he looked evil as he was here. He was so angry. And these two people who had brought me up and ushered me, that standing, they ushered me out the door. And we got to the front door, and one of them pointed his finger at me, and he said, you will never work again in this area. And I said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he ran off. And we need to know the word. And you know, the word was in me to speak. And people would say, you know, you must have lost so much work. You know, my business grew. You know, the Lord will honour you. If you stand up for the Lord will honour you. And you know that I put him first says, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything will be added unto you. And so many people put their ideas and their jobs and their wives and their families and their health and everything else first, and then think of God. Well, try and plug in the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, and he will change it. But first seek him and his righteousness. So when I came out that night of Freemasonry, I denounced it, and I was already involved with the church, and there was a couple praying with my wife and my family while I was in that lodge. And when I got back, we both, all of us, went to the church and actually stood up on stage and said what I'd done. And there was a woo, it was a cheer. And then people started coming and saying, no, we've been praying for you for months, Paul. And it worked out that there was about 200 people that had been praying in that church for us to be released and for the scales from my eyes to drop out. And, you know, the Lord honours those prayers from the body of Christ. The full gospel that I'd, Businessman's Fellowship that I'd joined, they'd been praying as well. And within 3 months, I was president of Full Gospel Businessman's Fellowship. And the Lord started telling me, and through my testimony, so many Freemasons have come out. I'm going to tell you that, you know, the Lord loves those that are Freemasons. He loves those that are in darkness. He loves those so much that he died for them at the cross. He doesn't want you to reject them. He wants you to pray for them with all your heart. Fast and pray. But I want to say to you that if you don't know Jesus Christ today, this evening, whenever you're watching this, this is the opportunity. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you want to pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for Paul's testimony. I thank you that you have revealed yourself to me through this program. And Father, I know that you're real. There is a hole in me that you need to fill. I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me tonight or today. Will you come into my life? Will you fill this hole? I want to be born again. Will you fill me with that spirit, your spirit? Will you heal me and deliver me and set me free? Will you lead me and guide me through life? Will you tell me which Bible to buy that you may lead me through your scriptures, Lord, and teach me? Will you lead me to a good church and a body of Christ? Will you lead me in that worship, Father, that I want to lift my hands and just worship you in spirit and in truth? And Father, the scripture says that if my people pray and worship me in spirit and in truth, I will inhabit the praises of my people.